Both President Bush and Senator John Kerry have set records with their spending on campaign commercials. NPR's John McChesney reports on the messages being sent in the world of short-form campaigning.
I'm optimistic about America because I believe in the people of America.
After recession, 9/11, and war, now our economy has been growing for 10 straight months. The largest tax.
Evan Tracy is watching this Bush campaign commercial in his office out in Arlington, Virginia, a 10-minute cab ride from downtown Washington, D.C. He's head of the Campaign Media Analysis Group, which tracks all of the political ads in the country, where they've aired, how often, and adjacent to what TV programs. Tracy brings up a database on his screen and checks out this commercial.
You see 67 spots in Colorado this aired, 38 times in Tucson, Youngstown, Ohio, 36 times, Flint, Michigan, 42. It looks like Denver got the most at 67.
Welcome to the battleground states where TV political commercials bracket nearly every variety of television programming. Tracy says there's never been anything to compare to this year's commercial outpouring.
The money that's being spent now in the presidential alone is probably $180, $190 million. The same time, 4 years ago, we had about $19 million spent in advertising.
In case those numbers went by too quickly, that's at least a tenfold increase in spending on political advertising from the year 2000. And most of the country, aside from the 19 or so battleground states, never sees any of it. Ken Goldstein monitors political ads for the University of Wisconsin's advertising project.
In those 19 states, we have 36% of the nation's population. Almost two out of three voters in this country will not see a single advertisement unless they happen to see one on cable during this election season.
Both campaigns argue that the millions have been well spent. The Bush campaign's main man for advertising is Mark McKinnon, head of Maverick Media and a former Democrat. He sits in a small windowless office in Bush campaign headquarters in Arlington, Virginia. Three lava lamps bubble up behind his desk. Three small candles burn in front of them. Stress reduction, he says.
Kerry was in a very dominant position, 5 to 11 points up coming out of the primary. It's tied today. And that's in the face of very difficult news that we've had out of Iraq that's been very troubling. So it's been a very difficult time with external news, and yet here we are with the race dead even.
The strategy behind the bulk of the Bush campaign ads has been an attempt to define John Kerry before he could define himself. Titles of the ads say it all. Doublespeak, wacky, troubling. But McKinnon doesn't like it when people call them negative ads. He insists they are comparison ads. And there's a good reason, he says, to concentrate on Kerry.
People know the president. They don't know John Kerry. I mean, the ability to affect perceptions about the president from an advertising point of view are rather limited. We certainly are going to characterize his record and his agenda, but he can do that every day out of the White House.
And McKinnon says a political commercial operation these days has to react with the speed of a newsroom. He points with pride to an occasion some time ago when Kerry was campaigning in West Virginia. McKinnon aired an ad there that day attacking Kerry's vote against $87 billion for troops in Iraq.
Few votes in Congress are as important as funding our troops at war. Though John Kerry voted in October 2002 for military action in Iraq, he later voted against funding our soldiers.
Mr. Kerry.
No. Body armor and higher combat pay for our troops.
Mr. Kerry.
No.
And so on. According to McKinnon, the ad put Kerry on the defensive, leading the senator to commit his biggest gaffe of the campaign.
I actually did vote for the $87 billion before I voted against it.
Wrong on defense.
McKinnon says his production house immediately cut this tape into the original ad, pumped it down dedicated digital lines to TV stations, and had the new version on the air in hours. But not all Republicans think this attack strategy is smart.
In short, I think it is one of the largest, most incredible wastes of money I've ever seen in my life.
Hal Reiney produced some of the most successful political ads ever. Ronald Reagan's Morning in America series, part of his campaign for a second term. Reiney thinks it demeans the presidency to go on the attack and says there are better things for the Bush campaign to talk about.
Our economy's in good shape. There are a lot of things that are going on that are terrific. And certainly I would spend an awful lot of time doing that and talking about that. Why would I waste my time making wisecracks and nasty remarks about John Kerry when the talk shows and various media do that every day?
Needless to say, the Kerry folks would also like to think that the $83 million the Bush campaign has spent so far is a waste. But Kerry's media managers are not hesitating to burn through huge amounts of their own cash, airing a barrage of commercials. Tad Devine is a strategist for the firm of Shrum Devine and Donilon, the firm that produces Kerry's ads. Devine meets reporters in a Spartan conference room hung with blank whiteboards. He makes a familiar claim about Kerry's ads.
The choice we've made in our campaign, as reflected in the paid media, the one medium that we have the most control over, is to broadcast a positive message.
And the Bush campaign's advertising?
Has almost all of it been negative.
Sounds nice, but there's certainly no shortage of Bush bashing on the air. It's just done by independent groups like MoveOn.org and The Media Group, allowing the Kerry campaign to claim the high road. Kerry's recent ads have concentrated on his biography because most voters still don't know much about him.
He's a husband and father, a pilot, a hunter, a hockey player, tough prosecutor, advocate for kids.
When Kerry's ads do talk about issues, they usually stay on a very abstract level. Like this one.
We are a country of the future. We're a country of optimists. We're the can-do people.
For John Kerry, a stronger America begins at home. Real plans to create jobs here, not overseas. Lower health care costs. Independence from Middle East oil.
And so on. Ads like this have led some critics to say that they are so general as to be practically meaningless. Devine says if you want more specifics on Kerry's policies, the ad directs you to the campaign website. Why has only one of Kerry's ads addressed the war in Iraq, and that one only indirectly? Devine, again, insists it's because the ad campaign is taking the high road. Wisconsin University's Ken Goldstein is a little more direct.
It's still very dicey to talk about national security issues, war issues, and be critical of the president. I think they're concerned that they may turn off swing voters. Certainly they'll please their base voters in places like Berkeley, California, and Madison, Wisconsin, but voters in those places aren't going to decide this election.
Will the Kerry ads go on the attack later in the campaign? Will the Bush ads continue to go after Kerry? Not surprisingly, neither campaign will say. The two camps have advertised themselves into a virtual standoff. But if the polls show a sharp tip in one direction or the other, the ads from either side could get a lot nastier. John McChesney, NPR News.